Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hawks Watch podcast. This is your host, James Arnold, and we are on the now fourth episode of this podcast, and I do appreciate everyone who's been coming back and listening to this podcast. Really do appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Today, it's been a while, been a few weeks since I've talked to you guys, so today we've got end of summer league to talk about, kind of going through what happened there, trade news, marginal moves that the Hawks have made in the last few weeks, and really an update on where the roster is now, because, you know, just want to kind of, as we go into the off season, kind of look at where are we at, where's the roster, and what moves may we be able to expect before the beginning of the season. So let's get into it. So, gonna start off here talking about the end of summer league. Last time I talked to you guys, I had kind of covered the first game just to talk about Risache versus Sar, and you know, kind of what happened there with the first game. Just seeing how Risache came out, and you know, kind of saw what you needed to see from him. Durasic had a good first quarter, rough rest of the game. So just want to kind of go over what happened with the rest of Summer League there. Risache, again, I think you saw what you needed to see from him. He only played a couple games, but was able to flash his impressive passing, his decision-making, and point of attack defense, which is really important for this team. As we've talked about, that's, you know, part of the roster that or part of the you know, on this roster, we haven't had any point of attack defense, and now we have, you know, Risache, Dyson Daniels, Keaton Wallace, Veet Krejci. We just have a more well-rounded and versatile roster when it comes to the defenders that we have on this team at this point. So seeing that, you know, defense from Risache, at his size, 6'10", seeing him really get up, I mean, something that's going to be important for him is just getting up a high volume of three-pointers. Like, that is very crucial for what the Hawks want, you know, him to do. So just adjusting from, you know, where he was, you know, shooting 3-4 three-pointers a night, you know, in the professional league that he played in, you know, in Europe, coming to the Hawks, like, they're going to want him to shoot, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 threes a game, you know, and hopefully just increase that volume, and, you know, maintain the accuracy. So just seeing him being willing to get up those shots and make a few of them, he didn't shoot at an insanely high level, but, you know, it was good to see him taking threes and, you know, kind of doing what they're going to want him to do there. And then moving on to Durasic, so we didn't get to see too much from him. He actually ended up breaking his foot in the second game, and so, you know, who knows how long he's going to be out. You know, maybe, I believe the time frame was about November until that he's going to be reevaluated. So he's going to be out for a while. He's going to miss training camp, and currently he is not signed with the Hawks at all. So, you know, he was a second round pick. All the two-way spots for the Hawks have been now signed to. So, you know, he's probably going to be stashed in Europe, playing with some, you know, European team. I don't know if he's going to sign with the Hawks, but his fate has yet to be decided. So we shall see what happens with Durasic, but you were at least able to see, you know, flashes of a player that, you know, could be useful down the line. but we will see what happens with him. Again, no telling. It's kind of up in the air when it comes to Dušić. Now, Mohamed Gay, in terms of summer league, he had an up and down, you know, showing. He was, you know, as I mentioned last time, you know, on the floor basically the whole first game that I saw, and he, that was a theme that continued to, you know, he was basically on the ground multiple times during that whole week, but he should be ready for us, you know, next season. He did have a little bit of a lost season last season, so should it be able to help a little bit more this year, assuming some development? But again, since he lost last season, you know, he wasn't able to be in the system and, you know, advance in the way that maybe he would have hoped. So he's still, you know, work in progress, but should be able to be, you know, a good depth piece, if nothing else, this year. Keaton Wallace already kind of went into depth about him last time, but great two-way signing. Believe he's about 25, brother of Kaysen Wallace. He is a good point of attack defender, a good, you know, scorer, able to run the offense. He's not a high-level passer, but he can make the right reads and run your offense in a pinch. But he is, you know, just a good two-way signing, you know, with us not having a whole lot to back up Trey at the guard spot. And Kobe, you know, isn't really a proven rotation player in the NBA so far. I think he's going to be good. I'm definitely a fan of Kobe, but, you know, he showed a lot in the G League, but he hasn't really been, you know, on the floor, the main point guard. So just having Keaton Wallace is kind of insurance policy, and honestly, I think we still need to sign, you know, another guard, whether it's, you know, maybe like that Lou Williams role where he doesn't have to play every night. You know, if Kobe does, you know, has it that night, he doesn't have to play. If Kobe doesn't have it or is hurt, or, you know, if Trey's hurt, we may need someone to step in into that role, just because we're, you know, we don't have a lot of depth at the guard position. You know, mainly DeJounte and Trey pretty much took all of those minutes last season. So, you know, trading DeJounte away, there is a lot of usage at the point guard position and just shot creating that is going to need to, you know, there's some slack that's going to need to be picked up. So we shall see. I'm still looking at, you know, maybe they will sign another guard and make some other moves, but currently, I mean, they have too many players. You know, there's a roster crunch and too many centers. And so we'll see if they do make any more moves before the end of the season. But technically, you know, if they stayed pat, they are currently, you know, a million or so under the luxury tax. They do have 15 full-time, you know, roster slots and three two-way signings. So they should be, you know, able to just roll into the season with this roster, assuming that they can't, you know, get anything done with the centers. Now, EJ Liddell was also on this summer league roster, and he has actually been traded since to the Suns, who actually, I believe, waived him, but we traded him for David Roddy, who is, you know, he's from the Suns. He's played a stint with the Grizzlies. He's a 3-4 type player, so a combo big man. Can play at the 3, can play at the 4. He's his nickname is Big Body Roddy. He is 6'4 and weighs a ton. He, you know, if you go look him up, he is a huge guy, and so he almost fits kind of that Sadiq Bey mold, where he's, you know, super big and physical, not the greatest vertical or lateral athlete, but is just extremely strong. He was supposed to have some shooting ability. That's kind of the question on him. If he can, you know, stand in the corner and just consistently hit the three ball, he's going to be a useful player just for his, you know, defensive ability with how stout he is. And then if he can knock down the three, you know, that's a guy that you can just stick at the three or four for, you know, a couple minutes here and there on a night when, you know, DeAndre Hunter or, you know, someone is hurt. Maybe multiple guys are hurt. He's just a depth piece, kind of that, you know, 14th, 15th man that you want in your rotation, just to kind of have him, which is same spot that EJ Liddell was kind of slotted into. Now, EJ was more of a 4-5, even though he was only 6-6. He honestly played like a center and really had a lot more rim protection. Now, David Roddy doesn't have the rim protection ability that EJ has, but it's just he fits better with the roster in that he can play the 3 and the 4. We already have, you know, 4 centers on this roster, which we will get to in a minute. But, you know, it was a solid 1-for-1 trade. There was nothing else but EJ traded for Roddy. So it was really just a 1-for-1, you know, challenge type trade. So, you know, not a huge move there, but did want to cover that the Hawks made that move and that EJ Liddell will no longer be with the team. So we'll have David Roddy kind of slotted into that 14th and 15th man on the rotation type role. Now, another marginal move that was made was a two-way signing of Dominic Barlow, and this was actually a fantastic move. Barlow has been in the league for a couple years, but he is only 21, so that is pretty much draft age. He's a combo big, so plays, you know, the 4 and the 5. He is 6'10". He is not super bulky, so he's kind of, you know, one of those tweener bigs. 6'10". He has some ball skills. It's almost similar to a Okongwu, but a Okongwu is just 1 inch shorter, but has a lot more bulk. But as far as the ball skills and, you know, offensive ability to handle the ball, pass the ball, you know, move the ball in the offense, that is something that he excels at. And he actually, he dominated in the G League last year. It was absolutely incredible. I believe he had about 25 points a game and, you know, 8 or 9 rebounds. So, you know, really was truly dominant in the G League, again, at 21 years old. This is a guy that many have, you know, kind of said that if he was in this year's draft class, that he would be a first-round pick. So it's basically like we got a first-round pick, you know, in this 2024 draft class for nothing and signed him to a two-way, which is something in late July that just doesn't really happen. So a lot of people were surprised that this was able to, you know, be done. I believe he was on, you know, part of the actual Spurs rotation, and a lot of Spurs fans were actually mad that he was, you know, picked up by the Hawks and that he wasn't going to be in San Antonio. And so, you know, if Spurs fans are mad, you know, I'm happy. So just because that's a great organization and generally, you know, they keep the right guys, but it sounds like somehow they did not sign him and the Hawks got a great pickup here on a two-way signing. There's really no downside for the team. He'll be a depth piece again at the 4 or 5, has good ball skills, you know, fine defender. It's a two-way slot, so you're not even giving him a full roster slot. Even if this had been a minimum signing, would have been worth it to me. So really can't say enough good about the, you know, two-way signing with Dominic Barlow, and, you know, hopefully he's a good addition to this team. And I almost forgot to talk about this, but I did want to go over, you know, Bruno Fernando. He was actually waived, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this here in a second, but, you know, with the roster crunch at the center position, so we've got 4 guys under contract there, and Bruno, we had to decide on his guarantee date sometime in June, or the Hawks did, you know, as to whether we were going to guarantee his contract and if he was going to be on the roster for next season. They pushed that out a couple times. It was clear that they didn't want to get rid of him. You know, they like Bruno as one, a person, and secondly, as a player as well, and he's, you know, slots really well into that third center role, just to have as a depth piece on your roster, you know, that maybe 12th man, 13th man. He's really good at that role and just nice to have for depth. But currently, again, we have four centers on the roster now. Two of those are starting caliber, you know, centers. So there's a lot of depth at the center position. Honestly, a crunch at that position. There's too much money tied up and too many players that play that you generally don't want to tie up a whole lot of assets in the center position. So, you know, there's a decision to make there. Unfortunately, they were trying to make moves and, you know, clearly we're trying to make moves and weren't able to get anything done there because they are valuing their players. They don't want to trade Capella for nothing. They don't want to trade Nance for nothing just to get them moved. Out of those two guys, Nance probably has a higher market or a better market just because he makes less money. Both are expiring guys, but Nance makes a little less and is pretty functional type of role player. So, you know, he could definitely be traded still before the offseason, but, you know, likely they certainly can go into the season with all four of those guys. But Bruno is no longer with us. I believe he actually signed a couple days after with the Raptors, but he will no longer be with the Hawks, unfortunately, due to the roster crunch. So wanted to mention that and go over that. I am going to cover now the you know, what the roster actually looks like. So at the point guard position, just to go over, you know, kind of the depth chart and where we're at now, because this has changed so much since I recorded the first episode and kind of went over all these things. This conversation has evolved so much in the last, you know, 5-6 weeks. So kind of want to update on where we're at with the roster. At point guard, we've got Trae Young, of course, Kobe Bufkin, second-year player, Keaton Wallace on the two-way contract, and that's all we have at point guard. So definitely, you know, room to add more depth there. At shooting guard, we've got Bogdan Bogdanovic, Dyson Daniels, Garrison Matthews. It's unclear, you know, between Bogey and Dyson, who's going to start there. They're both, you know, Bogey is, of course, you know, probably third best player on this team currently. So, you know, he's definitely starter level. The question there is, you know, the defense with Trae, of course, offensively, they are elite together. And really also the health with him, just because he is getting older. His knees have been in a rough shape from season to season. He's been an injury-prone guy, so they have liked him in that sixth-man role where he's able to come off the bench, you know, play 25 minutes a night instead of, you know, 30, 33, 35 minutes. And he's really good at that role as well. And, you know, provide some passing and, you know, continuity with that second unit and some shooting there as well. So it's unclear whether Bogey or Dyson is going to start. I would probably lean towards starting Dyson with Trae just to get size and that, you know, elite point of attack defense next to Trae. I also believe a little bit more than some in Dyson's shooting. Just, you know, yeah. I don't know if people have been watching him in the Olympics, but he has been absolutely incredible on the defensive end and has also shown some promise on the offensive end, just getting his own bucket, making the right passes, getting people open for layups, open three-pointers, and finishing as well. So I'm super excited about Dyson. I think he should probably start next to Trae, and Bogey should probably remain in that six-man role where he's really featured, you know, as a high usage player off the bench. But we shall see. At the three position, so we have Zachary Risacher, number one pick from this draft class, DeAndre Hunter, we've got Vete Krejci, and then we've got Seth Lundy, who is signed to a two-way. Not sure, again, who's going to start there, Zachary Risache or DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter is also, you know, he's been in trade talks and definitely has been available for the Hawks. So we shall see if he's, it's seeming like he's probably going to be on this roster by the start of the season, but not sure, you know, who they're going to plan to start there. I would love to see Risache starting, but don't know that that's going to happen immediately day one. So we shall see what they do there. Probably depends on what they do at the shooting guard as well, who starts there. So it's more about lineups really than who's starting, who's not. You know, some of these guys are probably, you know, a lot of them will be in the 20, 25, 27 minutes per game range. So, you know, not everyone's going to be needing to play 36 plus minutes a night like some, you know, teams have their starters doing. So we shall see. It's not that big a deal, but it'll be interesting to see what the lineups are. At power forward, we've got Jalen Johnson, Muhammad Gay, David Roddy, and Dominic Barlow signed to that new two-way deal. So, you know, good depth there. Jalen is definitely going to be the starter with Moge and David Roddy, you know, probably backing him up as well as Dominic Barlow at times, potentially. Also there, so at center, we have Clint Capella, Onyeka Okongwu, Larry Nance, and Cody Zeller. So Larry Nance can actually play the four. And so he is a, you know, he's not a great starter level guy. He's not going to blow you away, but he is a good role player. He plays solid defense. He is able to, you know, run the offense and run the defensive schemes, is decently versatile. He's going to do what you need out of, you know, that position at center. He has also played the four. It's been a while, but he has played the four in his career. So with there being this crunch at center where you have Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu, two starting, you know, clear starting level bigs, you know, already, and then having another, you know, good rotation level role player big and Larry Nance, and then also having Cody Zeller, you know, at the center. Larry Nance, just because there is no clear starting four between Muhammad Gay, David Roddy, and Dominic Barlow, you know, it's not clear exactly who would start, or not start, but, you know, back Jalen up off the bench. So I would imagine that some of those minutes would go to Larry Nance, or at least that's what I would do, because you have to slot out some type of role for him. And, you know, definitely the center position is already taken care of. So definitely going to be interesting to see, but I know they're trying to move Larry Nance just because, you know, he's probably not going to be, you know, he is a good locker room guy, but he's probably not going to be thrilled to be the third string big. So definitely going to have to, you know, get some minutes for him at four or whatever it may be, but it'll be really interesting to see what they do with, you know, some of these slots and who starts, who, you know, what lineups they go out with, how many minutes does Larry Nance get, etc. Just because there is a roster crunch here, especially at the center position, and, you know, we could use some depth in other areas. So, you know, what they can trade him up until the deadline, so they don't have to do it before the start of the season, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But it has been a fun time, as you can tell, if you've listened to, you know, all of these podcasts. Like I said, a lot of this conversation and with the roster has changed over the last 5 to 6 weeks. They've, you know, done a lot of rehauling with this roster. The first episode I made was about the issues. They clearly saw those issues as well and have made, you know, changes to add size, point of attack defense to this roster. I still think we're lacking a little bit in just guard depth. Again, I'd like to see, you know, someone else signed into that, you know, Lou Williams type role, but that would, you know, we'd have to you know, move someone else off this roster. You know, if I had to pick one, it'd be Cody Zeller, fourth string big. We just don't need him on this roster as well. Would definitely be helpful to be able to, but I don't think he can actually be traded before the season starts, so that's probably off the table. It's probably going to have to be Larry Nance or someone else, but we shall see what happens. I know this has been a long, you know, my longest podcast yet, so appreciate everyone who has stuck around here. Again, this is James Arnold. This is the Hawks Watch podcast. You can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at HawksWatch99. But I hope everyone has a good start to their August, and take care. Thank you for listening.